The first reading is taken from Isaiah chapter 42, verses 1 to 9, the message. Take a good look at my servant. I'm backing him to the hilt. He's the one I chose, and I couldn't be more pleased with him. I've bathed him with my spirit, my life. He'll set everything right among the nations. He won't call attention to what he does with loud speeches or gaudy parades. He won't brush aside the bruised and the hurt, and he won't disregard the small and insignificant. But he'll steadily and firmly set things right. He won't tire out and quit. He won't be stopped until he's finished his work to set things right on earth. Far-flung ocean islands wait expectantly for his teaching. God's message. The God who created the cosmos, stretched out the skies, laid out the earth and all that grows from it, who breathes life into earth's people, makes them alive with his own life. I am God. I have called you to live right and well. I have taken responsibility for you, kept you safe. I have set you among my people to bind them to me, and provided you as a lighthouse to the nations, to make a start at bringing people into the open, into light, opening blind eyes, releasing prisoners from dungeons, emptying the dark prisons. I am God, that's my name. I don't franchise my glory, don't endorse the no-God idols. Take note, the earlier predictions of judgment have been fulfilled. I'm announcing the new salvation work. Before it bursts on the scene, I'm telling you all about it. This is a poem by Andrew King based on Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 to 17. He takes the light that dances on the flowing surface of the water. He takes the dancing water that is filled with the flowing light. He has waded into the river that is umbilical with life. He is waist deep in the life that flows umbilical through the river. He stands with the man whose words are pictures of grace and light. Stands with the man whose grace is like life, like a flowing river. He fills his pitcher with the water, with the light, with the flow of life. He pours it over the man waist deep with him in the water. Grace descends, glittering like wings unfurling in the air. The air shimmers, it dances with sound, sounds of the river flowing, the water pouring, the men breathing, the light glittering, grace flooding, the wings beating, words surfacing, God's Son. He hears. He sees, he is soaked in the sound and the light and the water. He rejoices in the gift of it. He rejoices in the grace, in the one who is standing there with him in the water. For he knows that all of it is goodness, that all is a new beginning, that all of it is part of God's river. Thanks be to God.
As we receive your word today, Reach into our hearts and plant your love in it. Reach into our experience and find the unexplored places that need healing and understanding. Reach into our faith and shape us with your word of life. Prepare us to serve you with confidence, imitating Christ as we live as your people, your prayer, and your presence. Amen. Last Sunday, I was having a conversation with someone about, say, wanting the Christmas season to last a bit longer. By that, we were meaning it's been good to have family around us. It's been good to just do something different and relax, taking time for ourselves, being in the sun, and having time to just be. Another week on, and I'm beginning to move back to reality. The sun seems to have disappeared for a few days. During the week, Peter and I packed up the Christmas tree. The fairy lights have been put away. The glitter and tinsel cleaned up. Presents have been eaten, particularly the scorched almonds. And other things put away for future use. So it's back to reality. It's time to get on with the demands of our daily and weekly routine. Commuting, going into the office, ensuring that diaries and calendars are updated and priorities identified for the weeks and days ahead. Peter goes back to Auckland this afternoon for a week. So this last week, I have been thinking about how do you prepare for the year ahead? I've reflected back on the last year, inspired by Reverend Utamau last Sunday, thinking about some of the challenges, but also looking at the times where I was aware of God's grace. So it was just over a year ago that I was inducted into ministry here in Wellington. A year that has been filled with moments of stress, moments of joy, and lots of moments of being aware of God's grace, and also being sure that this is where I am called to be. Coincidentally, my word this morning that I picked up out of the basket was the word sent. And for me, that is being part of being called, being sent. This week I start my preparation for an induction service at Trinity for Trinity and St. Anselm's of Janet Mudavanu. And I'm conscious that for the Methodist Church, we use inductions as part of the preparation of looking to the year ahead. I'm not entirely convinced that it's a good preparation, but it's one of the processes that we use. So in the spirit of this getting back to reality, going back to normality, I've been reflecting on a couple of questions. How do we prepare to go out into the world, whatever that might mean for each of us? And how do we act once we are out in public view? The story of the baptism of Jesus is the church's traditional ritual story of Jesus coming into the public view. In Eugene Peterson's translation, The Message, he says, Jesus arrived at the Jordan River from Galilee. He wanted John to baptize him. John objected, I'm the one who needs to be baptized, not you. But Jesus insisted, do it. God's work, putting things right all these centuries, is coming together right now in this baptism. So John did it. The moment Jesus came out of the baptismal waters, the skies opened and he saw God's Spirit. It looked like a dove, descending and landing on him. And along with the Spirit, a voice. "This is my Son, chosen and marked by my love, delight of my life." It is Jesus on whom the Spirit descended and landed upon in unique fullness. A public statement, because we can hear it as well. Jesus is the one with whom we must deal. The Isaiah who poured out his heart in chapter 42 looked forward to the day when God would send his people a special servant. This servant would be directly chosen and upheld by God. And although he would be one of us, he would be utterly unlike any other leader, prophet, teacher, hero, or liberator. For those people who looked for a savior made in their own likeness, the servant anticipated by Isaiah would be a disappointment. He would not be a charismatic politician or a prince, a scientist or a business manager, a sporting star, actor, or pop star. He would, in truth, be a new kind of human being, a person who would challenge our basic assumptions about success, happiness, and greatness. Therefore, many would reject God's long-suffering servant. Others, especially the poor, the oppressed, the outcast, the blind, the prisoners, and all of the other millions who get a rough deal in this world, would trust and welcome this special servant of God. As we read chapter 42, we recognize Jesus as the fulfillment of the prophet's yearning, as the fulfillment of the promise. It is Jesus we recognize as this new kind of human being. And then in the waters of the Jordan, when Jesus humbly placed himself alongside all those who had repented and looked for the coming of the kingdom, God set the seal of approval on Jesus. Jesus was the chosen one, the son of Joseph the carpenter and his wife Mary, a man from Nazareth, a person who looked for no honor, no wealth, no praise or power, a person who won't call attention to himself and what he does in loud speeches and TV interviews with celebrities, a person who didn't brush aside the bruised and the hurt. "This is my Son, chosen and marked by love, delight of my life." As Andrew King says in his poem, "Grace descends, glittering like wings unfurling in the air. The air shimmers, it dances with sounds, sounds of the flowing river, the water pouring." Today, we are invited to recall the baptism of Jesus, and by association also, being invited to recall our own baptism. For the refreshing waters of baptism enlivens and nurtures us each new day. We're reminded that in baptism, it is God who takes the initiative. God knows and loves each one of us and wants to be known and loved by us. But more than that, it reminds us that we live in God and that God's creativity lives and comes to wonderful expression in us. not just in the moment of baptism itself, but throughout the whole of life. In our Methodist service of baptism, we say that baptism is the sign of new life in Christ, that through our baptism we are called to ministry in this world. As a community of faith, we make a promise to live as a community that offers an alternative to whatever grinds down, whatever divides self and community from the root of life of God. So, how do we prepare to go out into the world? How do we act once we're out in public view? How do we live out our baptism? Well, I don't have any easy answers, unfortunately. But I think that we start by acknowledging that we live in God's kingdom here in this world. We start by setting intentions to live out the promises we make as followers of Jesus. We recognize that life will be hard and compromising. We understand that Jesus leads us into places of challenge and discomfort so that we too can be the justice in the world. Perhaps we live out our baptismal promise to honor our journey of faith by having homes of love and trust, of sharing stories of the life and the wisdom and faith of those who have gone before us, of being encouragers, reaching out to others with love and compassion, of being a community where all who want to belong can find a place. And together, we pledge ourselves to support and care as we discover the ways of the Spirit of life as it unfurls its wings and grace descends. That all is a new beginning. That all of it is part of God's river. Baptize us, Christ. Baptize us into your faith. Baptize us in your communion. Baptize us into your family. Baptize us into the flow of life. Baptize us in compassion. Baptize us in the work of mercy and justice. Baptize us through your Spirit beyond the waters of our baptism. Baptize us completely in the way of the cross. Baptize us, Christ. Amen.